This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 403. This episode was pre-recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Let's all take our seats. It's Crisis 108. Shazam! This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We are taping this in advance, and we continue to cover the annual JLA-JSA team-ups. In our last class, DC writer Carrie Bates became a supervillain.
Now, I thought of something I wanted to ask.
Yes.
How many times do they go to this well? Is this something they keep returning to, sending themselves back into the comic books?
I don't know if it happens too often after this. I think they kind of said, we're done with this ridiculousness.
Well, because it really is kind of ridiculous, but, you know, I thought, well, you know, you don't have any other idea. You can use that one.
Right. Well, let's move on to our first class. Crisis in Eternity, Justice League of America, number 135, 1976, by Bridwell, Pasco, Dillon, McLaughlin, and Oda. Now, Nelson E. Bridwell was well known for Mad Magazine, Silver Age Superman Comics. He was DC's continuity cop. He created the Inferior Five. He also created the Kryptonian alphabet, put together the Super Friends comic, and Fire, Ice, and the Global Guardians. So we're about to meet a new Earth, which is again a result of DC purchasing other publishers. In this case, it's Fawcett Publications, purchased after DC litigated Captain Marvel to death. So we begin. King Kull, a Cro-Magnon with a Viking helmet, pilots his spaceship. Fawcett was a rather goofy publication.
Yes.
He's angry that Homo sapiens wiped out Cro-Magnons and wants revenge. So he reaches the Rock of Eternity, which is the Wizard Shazam's HQ, and freezes the gods there.
Now, I thought that this Rock of Eternity was like somewhere in an alternate dimension. I didn't think it could be reached by a spaceship.
Back then, it could be.
Okay.
When it was a separate Earth. Except Mercury manages to escape and gets a plan telepathically from Shazam, who's also frozen.
So apparently only his body is frozen and not his brain.
Yes. Mercury vibrates out to Star City and Earth One. Green Arrow and Black Canary are taking on train robbers. Mercury arrives and vibrates Green Arrow away. And Black Canary is not referenced again in this storyline.
Where the hell did he go?
Where others are waiting for him. Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, and Hawk Girl. Now, there's a whole subplot at this time with the JLA rules saying members can't have duplicate powers. This is more charter red tape. Robert's Rules of Order going on here.
So you can't have two people whose principal power is flight.
So close that it's basically the same power.
Yeah.
Making Hawk Girl officially a guest star and not a member of the JLA. And a little later, she fights this whole thing, and they have a parliamentary procedure, and she becomes a member.
They were really big on parliamentary procedure back then.
Over on Earth 2, Batman is retired but going to an awards ceremony with Robin of Earth 2 in the Batmobile. By the way, by this time, All-Star Comics has been resurrected, so we're getting new JSA stories elsewhere, which will begin having a major impact on these crossovers. Suddenly, JSA members appear in the back seat, which I didn't know existed in the Batmobile.
Yeah, suddenly there's a back seat in the Batmobile.
Flash of Earth 2, Wonder Woman of Earth 2, GL of Earth 2, and Johnny Thunder. while Mercury adjusts the motor, allowing it to drive into space and time, making it a bat TARDIS, essentially.
Exactly.
Back to King Kall, he makes his plans to destroy mankind on three worlds, Earth 1, Earth 2, and Earth S, a.k.a. Earth Fawcett.
Mm.
Speaking of that world, Ibis the Invincible and resurrected wife Taya, basically a magician with an Ibis stick doing his bidding, are doing some magic furniture rearrangement in their home when Mercury arrives and asks for their help. Bringing along other heroes we will meet in a moment. We go back to an old headquarters used by the Crime Champions. If you refer back to our Crisis 100 class for more details, that's episode 364. They all meet there to avoid King Kall's notice, and were introduced in a splash panel to the Heroes of Earth-S. Spy Smasher, a World War II Nazi fighter without powers. Bullet Man and Bullet Girl, husband and wife who fly via special helmets.
Oh, come on, it should be Bullet Woman. No, sorry.
it's better than Mr. Scarlet and Pinky the Whiz Kid.
Yeah.
Really, Batman and Robin clones. And Ibis, the only one with powers. They conveniently took the Marvel family off the board by incapacitating Shazam.
Right.
Pop quiz. Three hero teams meet against a common foe. What do?
They split up.
That's right. Johnny Thunder remains behind with Mercury, who has a special job for him. So we move on to Superman, Green Arrow, Wonder Woman of Earth 2, and Spy Smasher going to Earth 2 Atlantis, which has recently risen back to the surface. And they find Queen Clea, a rogue Amazon. This goes back to Golden Age Wonder Woman continuity. Along with Blockbuster, Earth 2 Penguin, and Ibac, an Earth S villain. Blockbuster has a Venus girdle on him so Clea can control him. Remember, Golden Age Wonder Woman equals bondage.
Yes.
Supes and Blockbuster duke it out. While Clark is distracted, Clea puts a girdle on him and orders him to attack Wonder Woman, who counters with her lasso, ordering Blockbuster to take the girdle off Clark, but has no luck doing so. So Wonder Woman orders Superman to stop because the girdle has a real flaw. Anyone can give you an order.
Well, any woman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then dukes out the queen. Kull, watching via crystal, laughs maniacally. Elsewhere, Pengi and Ibac are working on some device. Green Arrow and Spy Smasher arrive. Spy Smasher's blows have no effect on Ibac because he's powered by Ivan the Terrible, Borgia, Attila the Hun, and Caligula, Ibac, which somehow makes you super strong instead of just having four nutcases.
You know, they had to find somebody whose names made a nice acronym, you know?
Yeah. While GA and Penguin trade barbs, arrows, and umbrellas, and of course, Green Arrow wins, Spy Smasher tracks Ibac into saying his name, kind of like Mr. Mixblick. I back down for no one, which turns him back into a meek street sweeper.
So it's like Shazam. He turns into Ibac like Shazam.
Right. There's more remote chortling from Kull. The machine generates a cloud which can sink islands. Superman freezes it with his breath and throws it into space. And either due to the cloud or just to clean up continuity, Atlantis sinks again.
Yeah, well, that's good. We wouldn't want Atlantis floating around the surface of the Earth.
Crisis on Earth S. Justice League of America, number 136, 1976, by Bridwell, Pasco, Dylan, McLaughlin, and Oda. After the team figuratively, and in the splash panel literally, scour the Earth for clues, Bullet Man and Girl, Hawkman and Girl, fly over the Earth-S Canadian Rockies, finding people turned to stone. Hawkman's arm even turns to stone. Kull gives us a recap of his reason for revenge. Lava from the mountain is about to kill civilians who seem to talk like they were in a 1960s sitcom. And someone wonders, where is Captain Marvel? Well, we cut to Billy Batson reporting disasters on Wiz TV.
And I'm sure he's wondering, why the heck doesn't my Shazam work?
Yeah. Icebergs are freezing people. A steel frame of a building turns people to iron and then is walking around. And a second sun just appeared, making one side of Earth-S dark. Oh, and he thinks about how his powers are out. At the moving steel frame, Batmaniverse 2, Robiniverse 2, Mr. Scarlet and Pinky, Batman's jaw has turned to steel. Find Joker of Earth 2 and Weeper, an Earth-S villain who sheds crocodile tears for his victims, causing more havoc. People in a jewelry store turning to crystal. Scarlet takes out Joker with an infrared ray, which I assume does more than just heat him up. Weeper uses tear gas. Robin is protected by contact lenses and nose filters from the tear gas, but not Batman, apparently. And so Robin KOs him.
Well, Batman, remember, is retired now, so maybe he wasn't prepared.
Scarlet checks in with police scientist Jim Barr, who's actually Bullet Man, and has no luck changing people back. Bullet Girl runs up with an update. The Shade and Dr. Light are now involved. Meanwhile, the Marvels are at Wiz TV, frantically saying their magic words with no luck.
Captain Marvel, Shazam! Captain Marvel, Shazam!
Nothing. Hawkman and Bullet Man, who conveniently changed off panel, arrive in Paris to find Shade turning paintings into people and vice versa. They fight in the dark, taking out Shade, who thinks he's making this all happen, but not so. Hawk Girl and Bullet Girl arrive in Yellowstone to find the falls falling upward and becoming hands to grab them. Bullet Girl saves Hawk Girl after she is almost scalded by now living Yellowstone geysers. Dr. Light has been petrified and his light duplicates plead for help. They take Light's weapon and Shade's cane to crash two satellites into each other, which were causing all the problems. The transformation end and all is well, maybe? Well, Johnny Thunder arrives at Wiz TV. Remember, Mercury sent him there for a special mission.
This, to me, was a very confusing and bizarre
issue. There's lots of
issue.
Stuff going on here. Like, this could have been four issues instead of three. And spread it out, made it out make more sense. Crisis in Tomorrow. Justice League of America, number 137, 1976, by Bridwell, Pasco, Dillon, McLaughlin, Oda. We get a classic cover with the Man of Steel and the Big Red Cheese, and that's what they called him, about to go at it while the other heroes cheer them on. So we begin on Earth 1 at a weird model city of Tomorrow, a planned community meets the Jetsons kind of thing, being attacked by Earth-S robo-villain Mr. Atom. The twin GLs, twin Flashes, Mercury, and Ibis arrive, all providing exposition. When Ibis tells them, get to the fight instead of giving exposition,
yeah.
Good idea.
Shut up and go fight.
Mr. Adam's black aura protects him, even from this massive attack. The GLs and Ibis whip up their own black auras and discover a spaceship above is powering him. The Flashes and Mercury protect the citizenry. GL of Earth 2 sees people flying upward and saves them, leaving Ibis and GL of Earth 1 to attack the spaceship. Who's aboard the spaceship? It's Brainiac. GL is turned into a living skeleton. Ibis fights Brainiac's science with magic and defeats him, and he also turns GL back to normal.
Phew, I'm glad to have some muscles back.
They learn via GL's ring that the plan was to keep the speedsters running on the ground. Why? Because they're inadvertently powering a machine that's speeding up Earth 1's rotation. The GLs bust it up along with another machine powering Mr. Adam's aura, who grabs Ibis's Ibis stick and orders him to fly into a star, but the Ibis stick has some sort of club protection type
yes.
thing. And it auto-protects the magician from danger, who sends Mr. Atom up into a star instead. All the heroes meet at Earth-S in the Rock of Eternity, but Kal has a final trick up his sleeve, Red K, which normally has a random temporary effect on Superman, but in this case, conveniently turns him into a killer. Back at Wiz TV, Johnny Thunder uses the Thunderbolt. Accidentally, how was that Mercury's plan to have, well, I assume Johnny Thunder will screw up and tell the Thunderbolt to do something wrong, which will accidentally give them back the powers of the Marvel family.
Maybe that's really what Johnny Thunder's power is, to screw up things the way they need to be screwed up so things will work out.
So they go to the Rock of Eternity and smash up Kal's machines, only to find a crazed Superman who's now conveniently immune to Green K. Shazam, no longer paralyzed, tells Captain Marvel only magic can stop him. So the Big Red Cheese and the Man of Steel launch at each other per the cover, and he says, Shazam! the Red. K Effect is now gone, and Superman saves the now depowered Billy. What a jip. Where's the fight shown on the cover? Come on.
The cover never reflects what's in the book.
Kal is taken away in magic chains, and the heroes fly off to their respective Earths. A lot going on here, and Earth S, a.k.a. Earth Fawcett, is truly goofy.
Did you ever read any of the Fawcett comics of Captain Marvel?
No, because those ended like in the late 40s, early 50s.
Well, I just didn't know if you had ever gone back and looked at them.
I really
to see if they were as goofy as this.
I've maybe seen a couple old Captain Marvels, and they are. It was absolutely written for like little kids.
Okay.
Well, in our next class, it will take a legion of heroes to fight this one.
Ooh, is that a clue?
Sorry, no who's on the cover this week. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Or always, you can call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.